This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And as I always say, and I must repeat again and again, this broadcast and my website and my work is truly not only for the European people, but for all people. The principles I believe in for the people of European descent around the world, I think, are good and valid and true and honest for all people. Every heritage, every nation, every nationality, every race has a right to preserve itself in its own particular expressions of mankind. And every nation and every people have a right to be free. And that makes me, of course, not a supremacist, even though I'm often referred to as a supremacist in the media around the world. The same media that's dominated by Zionist extremists, Jewish extremists, who push a true supremacism not only in Israel and the Middle East, but all over the world. They are seeking a supremacy over our media and over our government, over our lives, really, over our culture, over our heritage. And this supremacy is not only a goal that they have, it is a reality in many ways. And it's a devastating reality for the United States of America. We have lost now over 3,000 young men and women, young Americans, in Iraq. We've had tens of thousands wounded and disfigured, crippled, blinded, emasculated in this war. It's actually been a far worse toll of death and even more maimings and injuries than what America received in the 9/11 attacks. And this has been an attack of our own making, a disaster of our own making, a disaster that in fact was made by our politicians who slavishly sold out the interest of the United States of America to that of Israel. In fact, I guess this war has a lot in common with what happened in 9/11, this tragedy of 9/11, because indeed 9/11 occurred because America has let itself be controlled by the Zionist international policies, and we caused tremendous hatred against our country. We caused tremendous anger, and we caused this anger by supporting the criminal actions of Israel and the murderous campaigns of Israel, which itself has created so many 9/11s throughout the Middle East, such as in Lebanon, such as in the Golan Heights, such as in the West Bank and in Gaza, where they have literally murdered tens of thousands of Palestinian men, women, and children. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to get us involved into another war. And I didn't think this war against Iran could take place just a few weeks ago, but I'm becoming more and more convinced that, in fact, they are gearing this country up for a war with Iran, a war that will be devastating, a war that will be fought specifically and only for the interest of Israel and not the interest of the American people. Once more, American boys and girls these days will be dying by the thousands, wounded by the tens of thousands in a war, not for the interests of the United States of America, but of a foreign country that seized control of most of our information media and most of our government policy. Former weapons inspector, senior weapons inspector in Iraq, Scott Ritter, said it very well in his new book, quote, "Let there be no doubt. If there is an American war with Iran, it is a war that was made in Israel and nowhere else." Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, it is a war made in Israel. Let's talk about some of the aspects of the ramp-up of this war and the propaganda war that's always waged ahead. And is Israel behind this propaganda war? And is the so-called Jewish lobby behind this propaganda war? Well, Paul Craig Roberts, an eminent scholar in this country, once rated among the 7 best journalists in America, former Under Secretary of the Treasury of the United States of America, he wrote a recent article, and I have a link to it on my website, davidduke.com, called Bush's War Heating Up, Attack on Iran Imminent. And in the article, he quotes from a number of news reports, including a quotation by Israeli General Odid Tira. And the Israeli general, is quoted as follows. Quote, President Bush lacks the political power to attack Iran. An American strike in Iran is essential for our existence. We must help him pave the way by lobbying the Democratic Party, which is conducting itself foolishly, and U.S. newspaper editors. We need to do this in order to turn the Iranian issue to a bipartisan one and unrelated to the Iraq failure. Well, of course, it's very related to the Iraq failure. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we are being manipulated and moved toward a war. Now, as you know, I recently returned from Tehran, where I met the Iranian president and talked with him. I also met many of the other Iranian officials, as well as many scholars in the country, at the so-called Holocaust Conference. A conference, by the way, not dedicated to the overthrow of the idea of the Holocaust per se, but one dedicated to freedom of speech on the issue. And again, this conference was very misquoted and very misrepresented to the people of the world. In fact, it was said to be a disgrace that this conference was held in Tehran, and yet no newspapers, not one mainstream daily, mention the fact that it's a disgrace that men and women, some even into their 80s, are being put into prison in European countries for simply expressing their conscience, their beliefs, their opinions about this event during the Second World War. If you deviate one iota, one jot from the so-called official Holocaust story, whatever that is, you can be put into prison for years. David Irving was locked up for over a year, and he could have been locked up for up to 10 years for simply uttering an opinion about an historical event over 60 years old. As I've said so many times, in any Western nation, you can certainly doubt God, but you can't doubt the official version of the Holocaust, not even down to the last line. But during this conference, I had firsthand knowledge and a firsthand experience of how the media lies to us all over the world. Luckily, I had some high-speed media access while I was there in Iran, and I was present at a major speech by the Iranian president, and I listened to it while it was simultaneously translated, and I listened to every word very intently and very closely. Now, during the speech, I'll tell you the ultimate aspect of the speech was that there must be justice for the Palestinian people. And he also talked about the Holocaust and how, whether it happened or whether it didn't, as portrayed by the Western media, portrayed by the major media of the world, he said, no matter whether that's true or not, the Palestinian people themselves have suffered a great Holocaust. They have been ethnically cleansed in their own country. They have been tortured by the tens of thousands. They have been killed by the tens of thousands. They've been kicked out of the land of their fathers and mothers. They're not even allowed to go back home. And he talked about the fact that there must be justice for the Palestinian people, and that the Palestinian people obviously are today, many millions are occupied in the West Bank and Gaza, even though the Israeli troops aren't there all the time. It's still basically an occupied land, cut off from the rest of the world, and completely smothered by the State of Israel, and it's causing the people in Gaza, both there and the West Bank, are in immense pain, and immense hardship, and immense suffering from the Israeli occupation of these areas. And by the way, even the United Nations voted in a resolution in the United Nations Security Council to demand Israel's withdrawal from that country. That was almost 35 years ago. And this illegal occupation has persisted. Well, he talked about that. And he talked about the idea that someday that there would be a new state in what is now called Israel. And it was a state that would be democratic. He stressed also all during his speech that he believed in peace. He believed in the ideas of peace and love and decency toward our people. That he was against the concept, absolutely the concept of war. That he felt war to be an evil phenomenon on the planet. That in all cases, men and women of good faith had to avoid war, avoid bloodshed. He said that he believed that the Israeli state, as a political regime, would come to an end. That it would end much like that of the Soviet Union. In fact, he specifically used the imagery of the fall of the Soviet, the communist state in Russia, in comparing what he thought would happen in Israel. And by the way, he didn't say that he was going to be the one that would cause this to happen, or he supported this, or he was going to affect this destruction of the Israeli Zionist regime. He simply said he believed that this would collapse much like what happened in the Soviet Union, and that he believed that in the state, in the form of the state that would follow, he believed in absolute democratic freedoms and rights for the people of that country, whether they be Jews, whether they be Christians, whether they be Muslims, whether they be Arabs, or whether they be Jews of descent. And he stressed that the civil rights and the human rights of every group had to be protected in every way. And the denial of human rights, whether it be torture, or whether it be suppression, or whether it be murder, that these things were wrong. Well, just a few hours after listening to this speech by this president, and just being 15, 20 feet from him when I heard these words, I looked at the world's press and a lot of the press in the United States of America, and I read the headlines. And the headlines read, Ahmadinejad calls again for wiping Israel off the map. Now, this headline and this quotation was printed in thousands of newspapers all over the world, and it was nothing but a lie. It was repeated on countless numbers of radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, and it was nothing but a bald-faced lie. And you see, when you combine this with Iran's demand that they be able to pursue peaceful nuclear energy, with, in fact, inspections allowed by the International Atomic Energy Agencies. When you combine his supposed quest for the atomic bomb, which the media and the Jewish media always says, then, of course, you have an imagery that if Iran obtains nuclear energy and, in fact, obtains the abilities to make an atomic bomb, they will make an atomic bomb, and then they will wipe Israel off the map, meaning that they will blow Israel to smithereens. That is the basic idea behind what they're saying. And it's all a lie. It's a big lie that they're using now to try to justify even tactical nuclear weapons against Israel. Again, reminds me of the old proverb. The old proverb which goes that the Jewish extremist always cries in pain as he strikes you. Because recently an article in the London Times stated, and I will quote, that they've learned from several Israeli military sources that Israel has drawn up secret plans to destroy Iran's uranium enrichment facilities with tactical nuclear weapons. And that was from an article entitled Israel Plans Nuclear Strike on Iran by Uzi Mahamni and Sarah Butler. That's from the very prestigious newspaper, the London Times. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't this typical? They make these lies up about the president of Iran saying wiping Israel off the map. They make lies up about their pursuit of so-called nuclear atomic bombs, even though most experts in that realm, including Scott Ritter, who's quite a good expert on that, says that they're at least 10 years away. Even America's own authorities on this, of our own federal government, have said Iran is at least 10 years. There's lots of time to deal with this possible problem, if it would be a problem. And yet, we now have a situation where Israel is trying to prepare the world for the possibility of an atomic strike against Iran. And I don't need to tell you how much loss of life, radiation poisoning, radiation destruction, and chaos that such an attack would take upon the world. Iran is a major country. Iran is far bigger than what Iraq was. They have far better weaponry than what Iraq had after he was detoothed, really, by the American military in the 1990s after the Gulf War. Iran has very complex missiles. And Iran is not going to take a nuclear or a conventional weapon strike on their territory by Israel, which would be doing that with the blessings of the United States, as George Bush already gave those blessings, or by the United States. They're not going to take that kind of an attack lightly. They will respond in kind. There will be hundreds of thousands of Iranian Shiites coming over the border from Iran into Iraq, absolutely destroying, killing, and attacking American troops and American facilities. And there's no way to stop that kind of infiltration if Iran felt their back was up against the wall and they were under attack. There is no way to defend many of our ships, even aircraft carriers that sit like sitting ducks in the Persian Gulf from some of the sophisticated missiles that Iran has. I believe, and it seems to me, that the Jewish extremists who are controlling American policy and controlling the media, they're trying to create a Pearl Harbor kind of incident. They're trying to create a pretext for a massive war. And what would this war do, ladies and gentlemen? First of all, if it would cost trillions of dollars of American money, it would cause the death of untold numbers of Americans. If we tried to invade the country, even if we didn't invade the country, I can guarantee you that terrorism would be unleashed upon American citizens all over the world. And the American government can protect American citizens somewhat behind our own borders, but there are tens of millions of Americans that go overseas who travel in tourism, and they're not going to stop this tourism travel, who are overseas in education, who are overseas in business. And there's no way in the world that America can protect all these Americans all over the world. And I can tell you, Iran would fight back. And it would be tragic, ladies and gentlemen, for the United States of America. I don't want to see this happen. I think a war between our respective countries would be horribly damaging to our people, to our nation, to our economy, and truly to the world. Because such an attack would also close off the straits between Iran and really the oil-rich areas of the Mideast, and we'd probably see oil absolutely skyrocketing to the $200 a barrel level, a level which would absolutely cause economic depression and destruction across Europe and America. And of course, I don't want to see any more American boys dying, especially not for a foreign nation, for the interest of Israel. I can understand Americans dying if need be to protect our rights and our freedoms and our liberties and our security at home. And in the Iraq War, they told us that Saddam Hussein was a terrible threat to these things, to the American people. We know now that was all a lie. Iran is no threat to us whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. But if we go to war against Iran, Iran then becomes a threat to not only our soldiers and sailors and military personnel, but it becomes a threat to all of our people. Now, I want to close this broadcast by giving you some data on the wipe off the map false quote that we've heard so much about. Even the New York Times did an article actually showing that these words were absolutely inaccurate. I'm surprised the Times did it, but some of their columnists did so. And the name of the article was just how far did they go those words against Israel? And let me give you the some quotations here. Ever since he spoke at an anti-Zionist conference in Tehran last October, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran has been known for one statement above all. As translated by the news agencies at the time, it was that Israel should be wiped off the map. Iran's nuclear program and sponsorship of militant Muslim groups are rarely mentioned without reference to this infamous map remark. It goes on, he says, is that what Mr. Ahmadinejad said? And if so, was it a threat of war? For months, a debate among Iran specialists over both questions has been intensifying. It starts as a dispute over translating Persian, but quickly turns on whether the United States, with help from Israel, is doing to Iran what some believe it did to Iraq, building a case for military action predicated on a faulty premise. Quote, Ahmadinejad did not say he was going to wipe Israel off the map because no such idiom exists in Persian, remarked Juan Cole, a Mideast specialist at the University of Michigan and a critic of American policy, who has argued that the Iranian president was misquoted. Quote, he did say he hoped its regime, in other words, a Jewish Zionist state occupying Jerusalem, would collapse. Since Iran has not, quote, attacked another country aggressively for over a century, he said in an email exchange, I smell the whiff of war propaganda. And by the way, that's true. Iran has not attacked any other country aggressively for over a century. Compare that record to Israel. Compare that record even to the United States. I'll go on. Jonathan Steele, a columnist for the left-leaning Guardian newspaper in London, recently laid out the case this way. The Iranian president was quoting an ancient statement by Iran's first Islamist leader, the late Ayatollah Khomeini, that this regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time. Just as the Shah's regime in Iran had vanished, he was not making a military threat. He was calling for an end to the occupation of Jerusalem at some point in the future. The page of time phrase suggests that he did not expect it to happen soon. Mr. Steele added that neither Khomeini nor Mr. Ahmadinejad suggested that Israel's vanishing was imminent or that Iran would be involved in bringing it about. But the propaganda damage was done, he wrote, in Western Hawks, bracket, the Iranian president with Hitler as though he seeks to exterminate the Jews. If Mr. Steele and Mr. Cole are right, not one word of the quotation, Israel should be wiped off the map, is accurate. That's an excerpt from the article from the New York Times. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many times have you heard that statement? How many times will you continue to hear that statement? You hear it on talk shows. You hear it in commentary from generals and political forces. You hear it from politicians. You hear it in the pulpit. You hear it all over the map. It's probably been used now 50,000 times in references in media. And it's nothing but a big lie. An absolute big, bald-faced lie. And it's even more of a lie than the so-called weapons of mass destruction that were possessed by Saddam Hussein. We now know he had no such weapons. We spent $1 billion of our American taxpayers' money looking for them so George Bush could justify his war. There were none. Even our own inspectors, our own report by our own federal government under the Bush administration said that they believed that the weapons were in fact that he did have before, which, by the way, were supplied by the United States of America, that these weapons were destroyed back in 1993. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to do everything we can to prevent this war, a war that would be tragic for both America, for Iran, and for the world. Someone has to stand up. Someone's got to tell the truth. And I'm doing the best I can from a position of, I guess, notoriety or controversialness. But at least I'm out there speaking, at least I'm out there working, and I hope that more Americans of any sort of influence, left-wing, right-wing, conservative, liberal, northern, southern, Protestant, Catholic, I hope that all Americans will begin to see that it's not in our interest to have this media which is controlled by these Jewish extremists and have this government that's controlled by Jewish extremists leading us to catastrophe in Iraq and perhaps Armageddon in Iran. Thanks so much for being with me. I appreciate your support. Your support makes possible this broadcast and all my work. Until tomorrow, this has been David Duke. God bless and take care.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.